Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. You know, I've got a... It's funny. It's not funny. Sometimes being in my head isn't really funny. It just... There's so many different things, but they're like, they're kind of fractured. So it may seem psychotic today as I run down one rabbit hole after the other, but I think there is one overlying theme here. I really do. That optimism is the only realism. In this super hyper negative, divisive, political, angry world we live in, it's super hard to see what's right. It really is. I completely acknowledge that. It's hard. Because whatever we will find whatever we're looking for, right? I mean, you can walk in a church and it's just wonderful, everything's perfect, but if you're looking for what's wrong, you'll find that 1 in 100 thing that's wrong. We will. We do it with our spouses and our families, right? You do it with your friends. You find what's wrong. Hey, nailed it. Good. I was looking for that. I was waiting for somebody to offend me. And why is this so important, though, when we think about investing? Because we get so much data. I'm not even going to call it information, because most of it comes without any context at all, and information without context is just simply data. It's noise. And there's so much of it. And we seek more of it. It's just coming at us like a fire hose. And how are we going to end up having any kind of true sense of something that could possibly be going right in the world unless somehow we override that in our entire thought process? Meaning, things work out. They always have. We can't prove that they always will, but they always have. See, the only realism ever for markets, for the economy, has been that things will work out. Believe it or not, when I started in this industry, people said that interest rates would never drop below 10% again, ever. It was systemic. Yeah, I know, one of our favorite words now, right? Systemic. Can we talk about systemic racism a little bit more? I got to find another word because it drives me crazy too. It's systemic. But then it wasn't. And it didn't kill us. Unemployment dropped. Interest rates dropped. We boomed. Optimism has always been the only realism. In the time, it doesn't feel like it. See, back in the day, Ronald Reagan, God bless him, wow, was he something else, helped lead us through that really high interest rate period with an overriding belief in ourselves, optimism, if you will. It was optimistic belief in Americans and their ability to solve problems. So as we look today, we see our biggest concern always has been, and boy, are we on steroids with it now, frighteningly so. We are now, as Ronald Reagan famously said, I'm here from the government, and I'm here to help. And this was his way of saying, this was the greatest lie that there ever told. I'm here from the government and I'm here to help. Government is the problem. That's what he always said. Not the solution. obviously we're turning that now to where we perceive government as the solution, meaning the individual can't figure out their own life. Help me. Help me. I don't know what to do with my own life. It's not only not American, it's really not human. Government consumes more and more. It takes all of our freedoms away. All of those things. Those are facts. They're not even arguable. Except apparently by Joe Biden and company. Government's dysfunctional. It doesn't do anything right. It isn't fair. It's horrible. But that's the direction we're going. So what's so optimistic about that, Dave? There's nothing optimistic about it. That's truth. But it's also true that that's not the way we always will be any more than it was the way we were always going to be from the 60s and 70s. We changed. And if we can go out and unite instead of divide, and I get Trump was clearly divisive within the Republican Party, too. It's time to move past that and not be so divided. So I'm very optimistic about what's going to happen going forward politically. I believe, because a friend told me that Rush said this before he passed away, that they always overstep. And they will this time too. So as we look at all of the problems out there, and what we're doing is we're simply telling ourselves or talking ourselves into hanging on to cash. Yeah, you know, for what? Yeah, I promised a couple weeks ago I'd talk about dollar cost averaging, and I will. I'm going to bring back Louis the Loser. And we'll talk about it, that it doesn't really matter when you invest. But if you always look at the world that it's never going to get better, and I'm always going to find what's wrong, that sounds like the news, which is nothing more than a historic report of what went wrong in the country today or yesterday. It has nothing new about it. It already happened, and we already know it's all bad news all of the time. And that's not a real perspective either. Not everything is bad. Not everything is good. Bad things happen. Great things happen. The real question for all of us, honestly, right, is are we going to find everything that's wrong all the time? Are we going to live our life with eyes wide open to everything that's wrong and suck the entire joy out of our life? Do we spend all of our time dividing instead of uniting? Looking for wrongs, feeling like every time somebody says, aha, I think I know what they're really saying. Mm-hmm. Racist. I don't like the way that guy's looking at me. Mm-mm. I don't like that tone. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like their hair. If we're always looking for offense, we'll find it. If we're always looking for what's wrong, it's right there. Just watch the news. But not all things are bad. And when we get in that, we don't invest. We don't think forward. We're sure things are going to go wrong, which will make us right. And after all, that's the most important thing. We got to be right. I know I do too. I have to work on it every day. The feeling I got to be right. I literally have to work on it every day. But for people who are like sitting out of the market, aren't participating, maybe even not participating fully in life because everything is wrong. They're waiting for what's wrong. They've got it dialed in. They're wrong. And you have to admit that. before you can move on. There are $10-plus trillion sitting in cash in our country alone. There's $13 trillion invested at negative interest rates around the world. That's a lot of T's. I know Joe's going to spend six here and four there and 12 there that we don't really know. You know, pretty soon a trillion's going to add up into something. But it's a lot of money. And the average person's sitting on way too much of it. Why? Because they are afraid. They have no optimism in their life. They watch too much news. They actually think that they're clever, smart, avoiding problems. We all do. At some point, sometimes, whether it's 10,000 points, 20,000 points, 30,000 points, we have to stop saying things like, you know, it's all made up, it's the Fed, they're juicing this, they're juicing that. Find out where you are getting all your inputs. It's not Pollyannish to say optimism is the only realism. It's called history. It's true. We figure out a way, a path forward. I mean, I've given over the years example after example, you know, growing up with film strips about the world being orange. Not true. There's billions of people more. Billions more here. We were going to run out of oil. We didn't. Overpopulation was only the first of the multiple jokes of the pessimists. We figure it out. Technology solves our problems. Now, because fear works so well, it's climate control, man. Everybody's all about climate. Why? Because then government can impose more rules, regulations, power over you. But you're denying the science that we're all going to die. No, I'm not. Technology will solve that problem too. Way before a bunch of lunatic, power-hungry politicians do. At least that's what history says. It keeps us out of investing. That's the sad part. It really does. All right. I'm way over. I have to get a break in. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. More to come. Hello, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to the next hour. I will talk a little bit about, during that time, dollar cost averaging. I know it's like, oh, can we talk about something really cool? You know what's really cool to me? Simple things like that. That work, right? It's like, if you will, back to the basics, right? It's how do I get rich? Well, over time, behave well, stay out of debt, put some money away, and you will get rich because you happen to be born in the greatest nation during the greatest time ever in human history. Amazing. Lucky you. Lucky you. I always called it the Lucky Sperm Club. We were born in America at the best time ever. Unbelievable. That's called winning the lottery. Really. It's amazing. And sometimes it's just good to talk about it, think about it, and relish that incredible blessing that it is. Because it's so loud, so noisy, so awful out there, and so angry. And I don't want to be angry. I want to be happy. I want to be happy. I want to be alive. And I want to invest. And I want to be confident that we have a future. Because what happens when we are fearful is we run to the wrong things, don't we? We run into products that feature high commissions, but guarantees. Guarantees they won't work. Guarantees that trap you. But guaranteed high commissions. This is not good. We don't want to be there. That's not what we want. We need to be have our eyes open, yes, to what the problems are, but move forward. The idea that you're going to time the market, get over yourself. It just doesn't work that way. You can't. Sorry, but you can't. No one has been able to. So sometimes it's like, let's not overthink this. Let's just not overthink this so much. Back to basics, cup of coffee a day, $5 a day for 40 years is $1.1 million. How hard is that? Right? It isn't that hard. All right. Obviously, you hear the music. I do, too. I'm out of here for Fox News, and then we'll have hour number two of Money Matters. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two of Money Matters upcoming, and of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only, and we're not here to tell you what to buy, sell, and as you well know, I firmly believe, I know that that is not good information. It leads us further from the truth. It leads us into a noisy environment that's already too noisy to make good decisions. Put money away on a regular basis. Stay out of debt. You get rich. Sorry, but that's the end of the book. We don't need option trading systems. You can't pretend that the market is going to do what you think it's going to do, that you can time it. And you can continue to be wrong. We've talked about Dalbar studies after Dalbar study and all that about how the individual's behavior is so bad. They've managed to take something that their entire life, on average, goes up 10% a year and make barely any money doing it. And, of course, cuss at Wall Street for doing that, making me behave badly. It's a terribly hard thing to do, apparently, for all of us, is to just acknowledge you don't know what the market's going to do day to day. You knew if the election went wrong, if Biden became president, the market would tank. And then that's okay because you were able to find cover in. That's all right because the Senate will block that. So Georgia would be okay. Except it wasn't. The market kept going. So what you know isn't worth knowing because it's often wrong, number one. That's not you personal. Quit taking it personal. It's all of us. All of us. But most importantly, even if we get something right, like I knew the election would go that way, people's reaction isn't what we thought it would be. Often that happens. Often that happens. And it's good to be smart. It's fun to be smart, right? It's fun to be right about things. But when we don't have the humility to know that we don't know the future and what's going to happen, it pulls us from being good investors, even decent investors. We overthink it. And we do overthink it a lot. Let me just say it this way, and I want to kind of come back to this again, okay? We're going to be doing a Zoom meeting next week for our clients. And I'm going to cover a lot of things that I've been covering the last couple of weeks, really, about how in the heck can we have the worst policies on the planet economically? Maybe you think it's a good idea to have illegal aliens on the border. Maybe you think it's a good idea to have all these people in cages. Maybe you think it's okay to just let them all in the country with nowhere to go, don't speak the language, no culture, nothing, none of that. Maybe you think that's a great idea. But I'm telling you, economically, the states and all down there are really struggling with it. Okay? Not a great idea. Maybe you also think it's a great idea to raise corporate taxes because we should be the highest tax country in the world because that's really attractive to capital or not attractive to capital. Maybe you think we should double the capital gains tax. Maybe you think that's good policy. Maybe you think that's fairer. But I'm telling you, it won't raise a nickel. I promise you it won't. It never has. Raising capital gains just means people hang on to things, right? They don't sell. It's destructive to the capital system that has made us all rich, whether you like capitalism or don't. You're rich because of it. These are terrible policies. Horrible policies. Why is the market at all-time highs? How can that be? It must be the Fed, right? So we look for other solutions instead of what's right in our face. The obvious. The simple. Because sometimes complexity, we get sold on the idea that, well, but I'm an intellectual. I have to think things through. I have to read deeply and I absorb lots of information. And so that must be a complicated idea of why is what and da, da, da. Pardon me. We do this. And we don't sometimes come back to the simplistic, which is maybe something like this. The pandemic is over, whether the media, the leftist media wants to admit it, or the governors that decided that lockdown makes them feel really powerful. It's so cool. I can tell people what to do. That is ending. We are reopening. Did you see the corporate profits this week and last and the week before you decide that the market is so overpriced and stuff because of the Shiller, whatever, 10-year, you know, PE trailing thing? Because that really smart bear that's been on TV for 30,000 points telling you it's really not very good out there at all. Sounded really smart. Corporate profits are exploding. Exploding. Because we're reopening. And we also figured out through the pandemic, certainly technology companies did, how to operate even better, more profitably. Their profits went up even more. We at Petso Financial, you over at Joe's Plumbing, Pete's Restaurant, all of us are figuring out how to be more productive. AKA profitable. All of that, all through the system, is what's happening. It's certainly happening with big companies. The S&P 500, right? The market. But figure it out. Spend your time digging in why the market's overpriced and all the bears are really right for the last 30,000 points that you missed out on. But you're going to be right. It's coming. All you got to do is spend more time at, what is it, Stanberry Research or something like it. Spend some more time digging in over there. It's all bad all the time and they're really smart people. Or wherever it is, go buy an annuity because they're guaranteed. Guaranteed, guaranteed, guaranteed. Safe, 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 safe. It's what we do when we hide in fear and we overthink things. Earnings are soaring. We're reopening. Where else are you going to put money? Now, is all this to say that the market won't have corrections? No, of course not. I don't know where the next 10%, 20% correction is coming from. Don't know what's going to cause it. But here's what I do know. After doing this for 40 years, it's going to be super obvious after it happens. Right? It'll be lots of people like, I knew it was coming. Right, you knew the last 33 corrections, and you got this one right. It's what we all do. I get it. It's all obvious in hindsight. We don't operate well in faith that things will continue to be okay. We dig in so deeply into the negative news all of the time that we convince ourselves that it really isn't going to be okay this time. We dwell in the negative. We dig more into the more negative. We are attracted to the, quotes, guarantees, the safe stuff. as if somehow that's going to protect us. And even though we know it won't work, we want that so bad because we want that guarantee that life can't give you in any real way, shape, or form. Isn't it weird? I mean, life is just so unknown. It's so uncertain that we seek so much to find one or two little things that we can feel safe about, right? Interesting. But really doesn't work well at all with investing, starting businesses, all of those things. It doesn't work well. You can't prove the future. We can't. And so we sometimes overthink what's right in front of us. I don't know what the market's going to do next week. I know, newsflash, right? Nobody knows. But we have to carry the humility to say that, to understand that, to know that. And at the same time, to trust that this thing that has worked my whole life, my grandparents' lives, their grandparents' lives, this creative destruction thing, this back and forth, this push for freedom, this push for, I'm going to call it oppression, where government takes care of everything, is a back and forth. That the path we're on now isn't going to be the path of the future necessarily. That things work out. That we become more productive, that we solve our problems, that technology grows. That the world is growing, therefore corporate profits will grow. Huh. That politicians are not very smart people. That's true. They don't really lead by their great wisdom. They lead to be powerful people. It's human nature. It's unfortunate. There are very few Ronald Reagans that just truly wanted the best. Very few. But there are some, and they come along just in the nick of time, don't they? They just seem to. Don't overthink this. I want to give you a couple other quick bullet points, okay? Mall traffic. I know, simple thing. Mall traffic. Oh, the malls are dead. It's up 86% from 1 year ago. I know, heart of the pandemic, and you're cherry-picking data. I get it. Right. But we're now less than 25% below the peak in 2019. We're getting there. GDP. In the pandemic, is barely below. The overall GDP in our country, meaning gross domestic product output, how big the economy is, how rich we are, multiple ways of thinking about it, is barely below the pre-pandemic high. Which is right back to this, okay? The worst policies possible, piled on regulations. Just shut down pipelines. Make gasoline really expensive. Drive up the cost of commodities. The most horrifying tax thought process in the whole wide world. Doubling capital gains taxes is beyond stupid. There's just not an economist in the world that actually could make an argument that this is going to raise a nickel of taxes and not just be penal. That's all it is. It's like, oh, you made money? I'm going to penalize you. It's not going to raise money. It's not going to help anybody. These are really bad policies. And in spite of all of these really bad policies, you know what we're going to do this year? We're going to grow. Not as fast as we should. And I always equate it back to 2009. The worst policies, healthcare destroyed. I can go on and on. It's just no point. You understand it. Raising taxes, all of that stuff, all the regulations piled onto business in 2009 did not stop growth. It slowed it down, but it didn't stop it. That's the same thing we're dealing with right now. We lose sight of that, I think, too easily. We are going to grow. Don't lose sight of that. Sometimes it's really that simple. And where else are you going to put money and get a return? And I hear you. Yeah, but I don't want to lose it. Right, I know. And you don't want it to grow from 10,000 to 35,000. I get it. It's your choice. Totally is your choice. But living life in fear is the only reason why the sharks, the negative press, lives. It's the only reason. Because it's easy to scare you. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. Please do give us a call. We're looking forward to talking with you. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO, our number. And also email is dave@petsofinancial.net. Let's go to the phones. Jim, how are you doing today?
Fine, thanks, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I just had to talk to a female voice, so I called your call screener.
Yes, good.
She's
doing a great job.
Better than Kevin, I do say.
That's right.
I was just going to tell you this funny thing, I think. A while back, I had taken a picture in my financial advisor's office of my financial advisor. And she's looking at the camera, and she's saying something. Well, anyway, I sent this picture to my brother, and my brother captioned it. And my financial advisor is of Spanish heritage. But anyway, the caption goes, my financial advisor is saying to me, I suggest 800 shares of Spanish Armada.
It's cute.
I thought that was hilarious.
It's cute.
Yeah, you know, and I'm also a creative writer, you know, and I came up from that with a story about how probably word would get out in maybe 1585 that Spain was going to try to invade England, and that they were going to be building a lot of ships. So then, anyway, the stock market, Spanish stock market, is created, invented. And all the materials that are going into this armada are listed on the stock exchange, in addition to the Spanish armada itself. And naturally, you know, there's like the Holland tulip bulb thing. And so the prices skyrocket, and unfortunately, there's a bit of a disaster. So then there's a bit of a crash in the market. But anyway. Yeah. So I came up with this whole story concerning... But, I mean, that's kind of like the thing about the buggy whips, you know, and investing in something that's passé, you know. But you can imagine going back in history when, first off, Christopher Columbus, you know, who's Italian, and the Italians are probably still kicking themselves for that, sails for the Spanish. So the Spanish hit the big time until England and France discovered all the wealth. So now there's a fight over the New World between all these countries. And poor old Spain is just losing out, you know.
Well, everything always changes. That's really the lesson of history, that everything that is in now is going to be out in the future. And I think that that's really the beauty of the capitalist system.
Well, you know, we've been fighting for resources since Cain and Abel, you know. The two people were killing each other, you know, and then we formed tribes, and the tribes were at war with each other. Then we formed countries, and the countries are at war with each other, all over resources.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
true.
It's interesting.
Well, and it's such an abundant world now that the necessity to fight over those resources is diminishing, which is a beautiful thing.
You know, it does seem to be breaking certain old economic rules. You know,
mm-hmm.
Now who knows what the inflation is going to be, but they're floating money and printing money like there's no tomorrow. And whether there's a tomorrow or not, we'll see. But so far, there hasn't been any negative consequences.
Yeah, there we will see some of it, and there have been some, right? I mean, the cost of building a house has gone up tremendously because lumber's up 300%. That's not an accident. That's not an isolated case. Copper's up
but,
a ton.
But that is supply and demand. It's not the creation of money floating around all over every place.
Well, we have 27% money supply growth in 1 year. We've never seen that before. We will see.
Yeah.
I would argue that there is a bit too much money floating around out there, and that's part of the reason we're having an extreme boom, if you will, in housing. And
well, the thing is, if everybody, all this money on the so-called sidelines, came out and everybody did buy stuff, then there would be inflation.
That is going to be a problem. We already see it. I can't remember the numbers. They were so high, but we've never seen this kind of a consumer spike like we saw this past month. And, of course, it's because, we rained checks on everybody. And so they ran out and bought iPhones and all the other toys they buy. And so we had a record increase. Yes, that will cause supply-demand problems if it's sustained. That's the real question right now. Are we seeing this as a temporary spike in inflation, or is it going to become a secular problem? And it could. It really could. We could see that warp into that, especially where we're raising minimum wage. We're telling people to stay at home. Here's $300 a week extra to do that all the way through September. It's going to be tough to get this going. These policies are stopping all of that growth. Or not stopping. They're slowing it down. And again, back to that, we are going to grow at a much slower rate than we should. But since we are coming out of the pandemic, Jim, we're going to see crazy demand for an awful lot of things, and there's a lot of money sloshing around out there. So let's hope it doesn't. I mean, that to me is the big concern long term. Are we going to see at the consumer level? We're already seeing it at the producer level. We're seeing inflation.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I mean, I've got everything I need, and I'm still buying stocks, and I don't know. Just be optimistic and realize that the only entity that a person has control over is themselves.
Yeah.
And, doesn't matter what Biden does or anybody else. The only thing you can control is you. So.
Yep, that's true.
Anyway, take care. And
you have a great day. Thanks for the call.
Too.
Bye
bye.
And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go ahead and take a quick break and stay on track. Unbelievable. We actually got right near the bottom of the hour here for Fox News. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO, 580-5436 is our number. Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Hey, if you want to catch a podcast or what have you, that you can certainly access that through our website. You can also do that on Apple Podcasts. So just put them in there if you want to. It's interesting to see as when we get analytics, I don't know what's a year or whatever it is, just kind of see it around, you know, where they are and, you know, some air base or whatever. And I've said this before, if you're overseas, we'd love to hear from you. Just shoot us an email and let us know you're listening. And I'm always curious, and thank you for your service for those of you who are serving overseas. All right, I promised I'd talk a little bit about this because it is important for us as we get in this really tech-heavy, news-driven world that we stop to kind of look at some of the basics. That this really works, and it does. And I always like to refer back to, you know, dollar-cost averaging is one, and Louis the Loser has been around for decades. I mean, decades. He was around kind of early in my career. Maybe he was there then. I don't know. But it's always this kind of rolling 20-year story or so of Louis the Loser. Because Louis invests money at the wrong time, literally, every single year. He puts it in on the market high. It, not even possible to do, of course, but Louis the Loser, of course, has the same picture as he did 30 years ago. Louis, for 20 years, puts $10,000 a year in on the market high, the worst day possible. Again, not even possible. Nor is it possible to catch the low of the year. But what is interesting is how close the differences are in a total rate of return. Because Louis doing the exact wrong time couldn't possibly do it any worse, right? I mean, it's literally the market high every year, whether that's January 3rd or 1st or whatever, or it's July or it's the end of the year, is the market high. That's the day Louis puts it in every year. And he still almost earned 8% compounded return for the last 20 years. Now, this runs through the end of 2019. Obviously, the numbers get even better in 2020. Why do I say that? Because the beauty of this last 20 years is this. 7.8% return compounded year after year, putting it in on the worst day possible beginning in 2000. What happened in 2000? Market got cut in half in 2000 through 02. We had 9/11. We had the internet bubble burst. Right? That followed by 2008 and 9. Another 50% cut in the market. You still did 7.8% compounded. That's the point of dollar cost averaging. It works. It works. How many bad things happened over the last 20 years? Countless. Market corrections. Countless things to fuss about. The market's too high. Market's too high. It's super too high. P.E. ratios have never been this high. The book value to the GDP of the country has never been this high. The list goes on and on and on and on. Barack Obama, the worst president in all of history. Well, he was pretty bad. It's in there. It's in there. All of these things, not to do it. All of it. We forget how creative destruction really works and works so, so well. Really does. It's just one of those things that I like running back to and taking a hard look at. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Terry, welcome.
Oh, good morning, Professor. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I got a whole bunch of things happening this week, and I just thought I'd let you know, first off, I bought a little Bitcoin.
All right, okay.
Just learning how to run the system, but that all came to my first suggestion for y'all, because I had to get a smartphone. Got an Apple 11.
Mm-hmm. And nice phone. I think that's the one I have. Maybe it's
all sorts of stuff. Well, do you give lessons on how to use the darn thing with all the stuff that's out there?
No, unfortunately, I'm one of those people that enables themselves by asking the people around them. Right? This is a true story. I am attempting now to have people show me or try to do it and have them correct me as I'm doing it, so I actually start to learn, because I got to catch up on some things, you know? I mean, really.
But yep, first you learn, then you do, then you teach.
There you go. I won't be teaching. But that's probably quite true for technology, but I want to be able to use it better.
If you have any smart young people that you know in your travels that want to earn a side hustle, take, you know, teaching, mentoring old folks like me how to use some of that good stuff.
It's absolutely true, and there are classes out there. I wish there were more of them, but you know, one of the reasons that there haven't been more is because so much stuff is out there now on YouTube, right? You can learn to do all kinds of things, or tutorials right on your phone. So
yeah, the reading the darn stuff is hard. I'd rather have somebody sit down and look over my shoulder and say, "Do this, do that." So
yep,
but. Yeah, anyway, well, if I can on your show, put out kudos to Gabriel out at the T-Mobile store on Overland.
Okay. Well, you just did.
He's a trainee that took an hour yesterday when it wasn't busy and just twinkle fingers. I mean, he was doing stuff, and six steps later, he had it done, and I'm still trying to figure out what the first step he did was.
Right.
So, anyway, that's a wonderful thing. And got the grandson off to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, to basic training this week, too. So,
congratulations.
Just like I said, first world problems we got. You know, ants in the house and whatnot, and this is terrible.
That's true.
But I was going to ask you about gambling funds versus speculation for investments.
Well, they're two very different things in my mind. Speculation is something you can, I will call it speculation, but it borders more on trying to put money in front of trends, if you will, right? Like, I don't really know who's going to come up with all of the great stuff on the Internet of Things, right? With 5G, that's going to be a big deal. That's my understanding. Can I tell you about 5G? Not really. It's faster than 4G. Yeah, but it's amazingly faster, right? It's
right.
It's enabling us to do things that we couldn't do before, because and what that looks like, whether it's embedded chips in your clothes to monitor any health conditions you have going on, all of these things that are just coming fast, better health services. I don't know who's going to win that race, right? I don't. But I feel like I want to put money in front of it. To me, that's speculative, right? Because I don't really know that area. But I think it's really investing. And so I think you have speculation that says, I could lose all my money on this company over here, but I really believe in them. And you might lose all your money on them. That's speculation. Investing is going to be, I want a package of companies you're in front of. That are in a very high growth area. Some will win, some will lose, but I want to be in front of that area. To me, that's more investing. And then you have the speculation where you're going in and picking individual companies, or, you know, maybe even based on some, not insider information, but insight from somebody who really knows that particular area, whether it be prostate cancer, those kinds of things, where
right.
a smart-thinking urologist might put you on to something there. That's speculation, right? But as far as gambling, that's going to be by GameStop. I'll take 10. I'll take 10 on the Knicks tonight. I'll take 10 on GameStop tonight. You know, that's gambling, and people don't have any idea. It's not speculation. It's just gambling, and
yeah,
that's different.
That's one of the things that that people need to put into perspective. That's how I sit in my comfy house doing, worrying about having an ant infestation.
There you go. That's right.
So, all right. Well, all right. I just thought I'd call up and bitch about first world problems.
That's good. You got it. You have a good day now.
All right. Thank you, David.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's get our final break out of the way, and hopefully we will take your calls on the other side of this break. Also available, Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That's our number. Do give us a call. We've got plenty of time left in today's program. Also, of course, emails. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. All right, this one from Tina. All right. If you, read the wrong one. Can you explain how much $1 trillion is? It's hard to wrap my mind around it. It seems so easy to say, and so it really doesn't matter that they keep spending it. Trillion here, trillion there, who cares? What a fantastic question. It really is. And I think this is an incredibly important thing that isn't talked about enough, because now we've diminished a trillion to a billion. All right, there are a trillion ways to explain a trillion. You know, how many dollar bills, it goes all the way past the sun and back, all those things. But here's what it is, and to understand how big it is. So we all understand $1 million isn't what it used to be. It's good money, and you know, it's nice to have $1 million check here and there. It's fun stuff. But $1 million of $100 bills, not $1 bills, $100 bills, is 40 inches high. Okay, so that's a million. That's a nice 40-inch pile. That's, what, just over 3 feet. 3 1/3 feet. Up over your waist. That's $100 bills equals $1 million. How about a billion? That's just a little more than a million, right? No, it's not. It's not a little bit more. It's quite a bit. It's 40,000 inches. 40,000 inches high. Well, that's pretty high. But a trillion? No. A billion, you wouldn't be able to see from a trillion. You wouldn't be able to see with binoculars. At least no binoculars I've ever heard of. Because $1 trillion $100 bills stacked is 40 million inches. That is 631 miles high. A trillion here, a trillion there, and it adds up. Let's not lose sight. We are, aren't we? Thank you, Tina. What a great question. Wow. Wow. $1 trillion is 631 miles of $100 bills. Not laid end to end, stacked. One on top of the other. Stacked. 631 miles high. Yeah, I'm not sure there's any air up there. Yeah, I am. I'm sure there's not. 100% sure. All right, that's the big picture of the bad stuff, and it is really, really bad stuff. What they're doing is beyond horrible. It really is. It's frightening what they're doing. And I started this show talking about the only realism is optimism, and it is. This too will change. We can't always spend our future away. There will be people that say, enough. I don't want my grandkids to have this. That case will be made. That every dollar spent today, by definition, means you can't spend it in the future. Every single dollar. And we aren't just spending a dollar. We're spending trillions of them. Government is and always will be the problem, not the solution. Government grows. Government is corrupt. Government is inefficient. Government does nothing well, unless you consider corruption and inefficiency well. And that's the bottom line. They don't do anything well. They don't educate well. Private schools do it better. Isn't that fascinating? Interesting. Oh, it's cherry-picked. No, it's not. It's not. They don't do anything well. And we're rushing headlong into that. That's a problem. But we've been here before. We've done this before. And then we get people like Ronald Reagan. These things will swing back. But that brings me to this too. Now, I stumbled on this talking with Kevin last week. Heard it this morning on the way in our recording. And I want to reiterate how important I think this is. We need to, those of us who believe in our grandkids, that don't want to saddle them with this, we got to come together. We got to have an optimistic, cohesive message for the young people today who are very much into socialism. we have to offer that message and not be figuring out why we're different and why you don't meet the purity test. We got to do that. We do. We got to figure that out. And fast. Not everybody's a rhino because they don't 100% agree with you. We got to understand that we're not supposed to agree with everything that every other human being says. We don't need a conservative woke chart of 100 points. If you miss one or two or 10, you fail. You're out of the party, out of the tent. Makes no sense. This is a real deal war. And it's a war that is going to affect our investments, capitalism, capital formation, jobs, everything, all the way through. This is huge. And I hope we get that right. I really do. This has been an amazing ride. And I think it always will be. I really do. I'm not sure why. I really don't know why it works so well. I'm not sure that it can if everybody's like on board. You know what I mean? If we don't have the risk premium that we get, that you're going to get 10% a year. I don't think you would if everybody understood it and the simplicity and the ease of it. I mean, seriously, a cup of coffee a day grows to $1.1 million over a working lifetime? Huh. How many cups of coffee or happy hours or whatever it is you go to? Have fun. We need to. We also need to put away those cups of coffee. But your level of required interaction with your investments is zero. The fact you have to get up early, well, you don't. To tap into that. But there's so many people out there telling you that this is phony or, you know, the Fed's only doing this or that. But as we look at history, that's just not true. This whole Fed experiment is new. What was the reason? And yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to put my finger on something. Okay, let's go. 83. That's where my finger landed. Oh, here's the answer. That's right. I forgot about that one. The Soviets just shot down the Korean jetliner. That'd be a good reason not to invest, don't you think? In 1983? Remember how aggressive they were? If we go back a few years, I was a kid putting my head under the desk in the drills in case there was a nuclear attack. That was kind of a certainty we grew up with. We knew that would happen. All of these things, you know, there's always a reason not to. And there's always people out there telling you why not. Why not? Why you should invest. It's crazy. It's too high. It's this. It's that. It's always that. And they're never wrong. Have you ever noticed that? They're never apologetic. You know, I'm really sorry that I had people try to stay out of the market for the last 40 years. Because, you know, it's just, they would have been rich. They could have educated their kids, their grandkids, everybody. Everybody on their block. They would have been so rich if they just didn't follow my advice. Yeah. Mm-mm. No apologies. They're just really bright people, and they come back with another reason why the next year you shouldn't invest. I get it. There's lots of problems out there. I hate this. I hate this horrible spending. The freedom's taken away. I hate all that. Hate it. But we'll figure it out, because we always do. And the big picture is this. We're reopening. There's actually probably people walking out on the Greenbelt now without wearing a mask. It's really weird. It's opened up. There might be people out on the sidewalk next to you. There might be people dining tonight at the restaurant. There could be. There will be. Because we're reopening. But there's always people out there to tell you to go to this dinner seminar, get your free steak, because we're going to give you information. No, they're not. They're going to give you a sales pitch. That's not information. It's not wisdom. It's not knowledge of any kind. None. None of the above. It's a pitch. And it's based on fear, a little bit of data, some half-truths. So you'll buy an equity-indexed annuity. Now, I'm not going to go into that. Because all you have to do is go to our website. Go to YouTube, whichever you prefer. And we've got a video. It's only 12 minutes. I know, it's not going to give you all the details you need to know, but it will explain what an equity-indexed annuity is and why they don't work. It's fear. Don't you just smell it every time? We get fearful about everything, and it takes us away from living life, investing, creating businesses. Don't let them do that. Stop it. Stop those inputs. Thank you for joining us. And we'll be back live next week. Have a great weekend.